You're with Virginia on ABC Radio Melbourne.
So, we've got to a really, really great place. Well done, us. How do we stay here? How do we hold this? And how do we inch forward in a safe way and in a way that can actually recover the economy? Really important question we're just about to discuss with a couple of great experts. I hope you hit the phones yesterday and got yourself a booking somewhere. Did you? Did you get a restaurant booking for the weekend or for the next few days? Did you manage to get a nail booking or something? I've left it terribly late, and now that it's occurred to me, I'm sure all of Melbourne, given the small numbers that restaurants are able to open up in at least at this first stage, I'm sure every single chair has gone. So anyone willing to, you know, donate me their booking at a – hey, I'll happily receive – give me a call, 1-300-222-774. Yeah, no lines are lighting up for that one. I can imagine no one's handing that over. I would love to know the plans you've got, though, so do call me, 1-300-222-774. You might recall that on a couple of occasions through this long, long pandemic and shutdown, we've had cause to speak to Shane Solomon. Shane Solomon is the former Undersecretary in the then Victorian Health Department, and later he was the Chief Executive of the Hong Kong Hospital Authority as part of the SARS, dealing with SARS and the SARS recovery. He's currently Chair of the Independent Hospital Pricing Authority and has a great insight and knowledge into the bureaucratic public health response when you have a pandemic like this. And he joins you now. Shane Solomon, good morning to you.
Good morning, Virginia. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. And Dr. Leonora Rees is with you as well from the School of Economics at RMIT. Dr. Rees, great to chat to you again. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
We've got the two experts this morning, the two ends, if you like, of how we cope, how we get through the stage that we're in now, how we got here, and how we take our steps out. But Shane Solomon, first of all, because I know you've been watching this with a great interest and alarm like everybody else, what do you say about where we are today?
Well, I think like everybody else, I'm so proud of us to get to this point and, you know, thinking we could never get here. It's just an extraordinary achievement of us as citizens. I don't think anyone outside of Melbourne or Victoria could hope to understand what we've been through and how we feel about getting to this point. So we've won battle one.
Battle one was to get the virus down to, you know, almost undetectable levels. It will still be out there, of course, though, won't it, Shane?
It will most definitely be out there. And it's too hard to believe at this point that there aren't still some cases out there, and we know from the past where that can go.
Tell us how this situation compares to other jurisdictions around the world. I mean, if you have a really, really hard lockdown like we have, it just follows logically that, you know, you will get the numbers down very low. How does that compare to approaches that other places have taken where they've managed to reduce it to these levels?
Yeah, and it's really alarming, isn't it? I mean, that's the part that that I think scares most of us, that now when you look at Europe, particularly Spain, we all thought, and probably they thought, that they'd nailed it, that they'd beaten the virus. Mm. And the scary thing is 3, 4, 5 months later, it raises its ugly head in a very dramatic way. And so trying to understand what we can do to avoid that. And I think of it as creeping complacency. What scares me most is that it was summer in Europe. Everyone relaxed. You know, you looked at it, we sitting here in Melbourne were so jealous. Mm. And you think, well, yeah, they've done it, they've got it, but they didn't have it. And I think that's the scary part for us, and there are some things we can talk about that I think can help us, and some great examples of where that hasn't happened so far, New Zealand, New South Wales, Queensland, for example.
We will get to that. That's a fantastic reminder, if you like. I mean, it's the note of caution that we should sound this morning as we cautiously come out of this. Dr. Leonora Rees, I guess you look at this from a slightly different perspective, and we'll get to that. But you must be feeling as happy as most people too.
Yes, in terms of confidence, when we look at donuts selling out within an hour. I think as an economist, we can use donut sales as an official measure of confidence from now on. It certainly does indicate that excitement, that optimism, that pent-up demand. But exactly as Shane has mentioned, there will need to be that degree of caution and care so that we reopen in a safe and responsible way. And I do think there will be some degree of psychological scarring within the communities, and people will be naturally cautious to an extent because of what we've gone through. We do not want to revisit that experience. So I think that burst of excitement will be tempered on the whole. And as Shane has also said, we need to look long term. This is just the beginning. So when we want to support our businesses and our economy to reopen, I know a lot of businesses have a COVID plan in place. We need to think really big picture about what infrastructure do we set up to really refit our overall city to be COVID resilient. And there are other experts in the field, but things like wider pedestrian space, more space on public transport, and now is the time to invest in that for when eventually the domestic and international borders do one day reopen. We can craft Victoria and Melbourne to be best practice in being ready for that scenario again.
Dr. Leonora Rees, the Treasury Deputy Secretary Luke Yeaman was speaking to a Senate committee hearing yesterday and talking about Victoria's effective unemployment rate at 14%, well above the national average of 9 to 9.5, and talking about the number of job losses happening on a weekly basis here. I guess it's an assessment you probably wouldn't disagree with, but what does it mean for us, and how do you anticipate the nature of the comeback economically here in Victoria? Fast or slow, a bounce or a rocket, as some have said?
Yes, to some degree we do have some indications because we can look at the other states within Australia to see how they have gradually recovered once the restrictions were lifted and that confidence came back. The thing about Victoria is that we know so many of these jobs, unfortunately, are not going to come back straight away. Yes, pubs and clubs and restaurants and beauty salons can reopen again. At some point, the local market will reopen, but we're still closed to that international market. And so our industries such as tourism, travel, higher education, those recreational industries, they're still going to be dampened by the international and the global situation. So we do need to find a way for those export-oriented industries to find a way to deliver their services and products in a way that doesn't necessarily require people to be here in person. You know, our films, our music, our arts, and our education services. And also we do need to assist workers to pivot and retrain in scenarios where those jobs are just not going to come back. And we do need to provide supportive information for a start. Where are the genuine job prospects? How do we support those workers to pivot, but also not just to start from the bottom of the career ladder again, but to recognise the skills that they bring that are transferable, and so that they do have strong job prospects again. And these are all the ingredients that will sew the economy back together again eventually. But it does take effort, I think, from local, state and federal government, as well as communities, to have that collective vision.
Yes, and I want to come back to that because it's clear what you've described there is clearly a range of measures, financial measures and investment, if not, you know, straight out grants and the like from state and federal authorities. But Shane Solomon, back to you. You were talking before about wanting to avoid the creeping complacency that set in countries overseas as their European summer came upon them and the terrible wave that they're now enduring now. How do we avoid that?
Well, part of it is our mindset, obviously. Part of it is contact tracing and being constantly on duty. Clearly, one interesting thing about the second wave in Europe is that it was slower to take off. There was a longer window of opportunity for contact tracing to work, but obviously it didn't. So contact tracing is a really critical element of this. And this might not be very popular with your listeners, but there was also a reluctance to go back into restrictions, that we are a bit punch drunk with restrictions. The places that have succeeded, like Hong Kong, Singapore, New Zealand, have actually been willing to take a tactical step back to go forward. In other words, you need the brake occasionally, not just the accelerator. And you know, I think that's incredibly important. So.
That's a tough day to raise that prospect.
This I know, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, but I get it. I mean, you're here to speak the truth as you see it. So that's an uncomfortable reality you think we need to have in the back of our mind?
Exactly. But, you know, in the meantime, you know, there are things that citizens can do. There are things that that the government can do. And I would just really plead with people. And Daniel Andrews yesterday was talking about COVID safe and COVID normal. I think masks is a great advantage that we now have. We're used to it. It's a fashion statement in Melbourne. Washing our hands Socially distancing, avoiding large indoor gatherings without a mask, and getting tested. I mean, those are things that are now ingrained in us, and I just hope that in 3 or 4 months' time, we haven't forgotten those things, that we don't get into that creeping complacency, that we're one, we can stop all of that, and we can't.
Shane Solomon, the big question that we've been asking on this show, and I posed in a column that I wrote a couple of weeks ago, was that, you know, we've done our bit, largely, you know, most Victorians, in shutting down and following the rules. The government's bit was to make sure that they had their contact tracing, testing and isolating system absolutely rock solid and in place. From everything you've read and learnt and observed and heard, do you believe they do?
I thought it was a great article, by the way, and I think you absolutely nailed our next stage. What gives me some confidence about the contact tracing, and I'm sure we're all nervous, we're absolutely nervous as we come out of the lockdown. There is a line of command. Jerome Wymer looks like he's got fantastic operational and logistics experience. One of the things we learned from hotel quarantine was the line of command was unclear, the decision-making responsibility was unclear. I think we have a person, a commander. We've had some trial runs and they've been good. I mean, what was good about Northern Suburbs was that they got onto it so quickly. It wasn't the zero, it was that they responded so quickly to so many people and people played ball. It seems to be well-resourced. They've got some interesting technology that moves us away from the whiteboard and into being able to properly connect cases. One thing that worries me is the constant learning culture. And, you know, they will make mistakes. And, you know, clearly there were some issues with the Northern Suburbs family. The important thing is to admit to yourself at least that there is something we can improve here.
Yes.
And that's the culture that I'd be looking for. And unfortunately, the media, not wanting to criticise you, Virginia, and the media generally, there is a tendency to try and catch people out. Mm-hmm. And that drives that constant learning culture a little bit underground. So somewhere we need to accept that people are going to make mistakes. The system's not going to be perfect, but please learn from those mistakes and find ways to improve the system.
Well, look, that's an interesting observation. I've had a number of health professionals, surgeons, doctors, GPs, people who work in the public health space who have come on this program raising issues that they very, very much want the state government to take seriously, calling out problems that they see existing in the system and proposing solutions. Is that... I hope that's not being gotcha. I actually do that in the effort of actually wanting to inform back to the authorities ways that they can improve from their own people, from people who work in it. Your assessment as someone who's, you know, worked exactly in this field in Hong Kong during SARS, is it the right way to go or the wrong way to go?
You have to call it out, and I think they have to, you know, use every means they've got, social media, to get that feedback. And I think, you know, you've done a fantastic job, and I'm not trying
I'm not after praise here. This is actually a genuine question about whether I don't want to create a defensiveness in the bureaucracy that actually doesn't bring us about a better result.
Yeah. Look, my experience of what actually happens is that within bureaucracies, people are brutally honest to themselves and to each other. So, you know, you can be assured that those things that are raised, you know, people will be listening to it, not being defensive behind closed doors. But I feel their angst when, you know, when they're criticised publicly and they know privately they're trying to do everything they can, sure, and trying to address every issue. So I think you can be, you know, assured that those comments will be taken seriously. They'll be looking at ways of addressing that.
That's a great insight to give us this morning. Shane Solomon is with you, former Undersecretary in the Victorian Health Department, as it was then known, and as I mentioned before, part of the SARS response there at the Hong Kong Hospital Authority. And Dr. Leonora Rees is here too from the School of Economics at RMIT. Leonora, you were talking before about, you know, what we need now in order to economically successfully build our way out of this. In essence, you seem to be talking about money, perhaps great, you know, whacks of money and investment from state and federal authorities. Is that what it boils down to?
I think money is always part of it, but I think also we need some clear information to predict what does the future look like in terms of the composition of our economy. Given that migration, you know, is low now, non-existent, we do need to recalibrate what do we think are going to be the skills that people will need in the future. And we know already, even before the pandemic, there was a need for greater investment and training and support for aged care, for mental health, for community services, for childcare. And so we don't just need funding, we also need a clear roadmap, information-wise, in terms of where are the job prospects, so that we can allocate that funding appropriately as well. So I think that's about being really realistic about which industries are just not going to come back in full force again, and to provide supportive information for people to retrain, to become familiar with the retraining system, to a system where we can recognise people's skills. For instance, you might have people who have worked in hospitality who have fantastic people skills and would be really well suited to the care sector. So we need information support to steer those displaced workers into those job opportunities. So it's not just about funding; it's about a really collective package about how do we make these things happen. And I think going forward, we also need to be aware that JobKeeper payment, you mentioned the effective unemployment rate before, that is a reflection of the fact that we are still propping up, as we should, a lot of people who aren't really sure if they still have a job at the moment, but through this JobKeeper payment.
Yeah.
And so when we get up to that transition point and we wean people off that support, that is going to be a really critical point of the labour market to support those people through mental health as well. So it's not just about funding, it's about a full gamut of resourcing.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you mentioned mental health there too. Great to have you both on board this morning. It's been a terrific conversation. Shane, Leonora, thanks so much.
Thanks for
you.
Thank you.
On ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria, you're listening to Virginia Trioli.